It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Governor Corbett is holding off signing the $29.1 billion Commonwealth budget approved by state lawmakers Monday night. The announcement came just after the final vote on the spending plan, which includes no new taxes but leans heavily on one-time revenue sources and hopeful revenue forecasts. The governor's refusal to sign the budget has less to do with what's in it than with the legislature's failure to pass one of his top priorities. I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by 90.5 WESA Capitol correspondent Mary Wilson. Good day, Mary.
Hi, Paul.
So why is the governor holding out on signing the budget?
Well, I'm not sure why he's holding out right now, given that he earlier had said he was holding out because he didn't see passage of a key priority of his, which is an overhaul of public pension benefits. That met an unceremonious spiking in the House yesterday. It was referred to a committee where it's likely to wither on the vine, at least for the rest of the summer. So he's not going to get his pension overhaul, which he has linked to. You know, that pension overhaul has been the subject of, I think, three ultimatums now that the governor has handed down. So now I'm not sure what he's waiting for. He says his spokesman says he's reviewing the budget. He's deliberating over the budget. There are strong hints that he may do what's called a line item veto, where he doesn't veto the whole budget. He vetoes certain funding items. Speculation abounds that he may be thinking about cutting the funding of the state legislature. They presumably would have enough. The legislature has finished its year a year ago. It had a surplus of more than $100 million. So unless it's spent that down recently, it would have enough money to probably take it through the rest of the calendar year, so it's not sure that would be much of a threat. But to this date, you know, we're on the second day of not having a budget. The governor thinks he has until July 9th. His staff thinks he has until July 9th to decide what to do with the budget. Others say that he really has more like till July 11th, because there's this 10-day period for which he's got a review prerogative, and it's not quite sure when that clock actually started. But those are the reasons why I think he's holding off on the budget now to kind of suspense is the only thing he's building here, because there's no chance that any of his own initiatives could get through unless something very drastic happens.
So it's not so much having to do with what's in the budget itself, but an issue that he's holding the budget at ransom for, which is pension reform. And why is that issue so important to the governor, Mary?
Pension reform is something he's been talking about for a year and a half or 2 years. And to call it pension reform, that's probably an editorial comment. Reform means different things to different people, but the state has there are two issues here when it comes to pensions. The state has accumulated a $50 billion and growing pension debt. That's money that the state is currently on the hook for pension benefits already promised to current state and school employees and retirees. So that's money that, you know, those are things that those benefits aren't going to change.
He's basically
and
saying
the state's on the hook for that debt. And then the other issue is changing pension benefits in the long term and trying to rein in costs in the future, decades down the road, by just changing the benefits that would go to state employees hired in the future, state and school employees hired in the future. There was a proposal before the House, and it was discussed in the Senate, that would change those future benefits. Reel those in. Corbett endorsed that plan and late in June started pushing very hard, started really making moves that he was going to play hardball to get that done.
But he hasn't really, he's sort of issued these ultimatums, but he doesn't sound like he's really stuck to them.
Well, I think he's stuck to them. So You know, to recap, the first ultimatum came about 2 weeks ago. He said, at that point, lawmakers were saying it's going to take new tax revenue to write a new budget, that they didn't think that they could write a budget without bringing in new revenue because tax revenues dropped over the past year unexpectedly, leaving us with a $1.4 billion deficit. So they said, we need new taxes. Governor said, I will think about new taxes. We can discuss that, but not until you pass bills that are near and dear to my heart, pension proposal being one of them. Then legislative leaders said, okay, we're not going to do new taxes. We're just going to try to pass a budget we're going to try to bridge this budget gap on a wish and a prayer. And that's what they did. Corbett came back and said, okay, pension benefits has got to pass. How about this? How about I'll give Philadelphia lawmakers and officials the authority to, to pass a cigarette tax just in Philadelphia. That'll give them funding they need for schools in Philadelphia. And in legislature, you pass my pension proposal. That didn't happen. You know, pension proposal still couldn't move. Democrats said, we're not going to help you pass the pension proposal, and the cigarette tax went unadvanced. Now we're at the third ultimatum here. Sorry to go on a jag, but we're at the third ultimatum here now where he says, I might not sign this budget. He threatens not to sign the budget because the pension proposal hasn't moved.
But at some point, he's going to have to give in on this, isn't he?
He could veto. He could certainly veto the entire budget. That would not be giving in. But people don't really think he's going to do that. They think the speculation is that if the governor were going to veto, he would have vetoed from the outset. He would have said, no, come back, I veto the budget. Lawmakers, come back to Harrisburg, write me a new one, and pass my pension proposal. So that's an example of not giving in. That's one scenario.
Now, as far as the pension reform goes, it is something that the governor has looked at, and others in state government have talked about this problem, that years ago the pensions were set at a certain level, and clearly they are something that the state feels, many people within state government, including the governor, feels the state can no longer afford, particularly as we go into the future, that pensions are going to have to be adjusted for future employees so that the budget can be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the urgency here, is this an issue that, though many would like to have dealt with it in this session, is it something that's going to have to be, as far as taking some of the big steps, that it's going to be put off for at least another year?
I don't know that it'll be put off for another year. There are a lot of reasons that certainly could be. Pensions, I think especially Republicans realize that the state's pension debt and the rising pension costs for both the state and each school district in the Commonwealth, that's a hair on fire problem and it needs to be addressed. The disagreement here comes when there's a proposal to address only one of the two issues at the heart of that problem. Do you want to address short-term pain that's caused by the huge debt the state has on the pensions, or do you want to address long-term pension costs by changing future benefits, which are the only ones you can change without probably getting hauled to court? So Corbett wanted to do just the latter. He wanted to, just in a show of good faith almost, to just change pension benefits in the future. Where that ran into trouble, even people who agree with that move, who like the idea of changing pension benefits in the long haul, they say that if you do that without addressing the debt, if you do that without doing something to relieve the short-term pain, you're never going to come back and make that. You know, that's going to be a tough thing. Whenever you talk about paying down debt, that's hard. That could require borrowing. That could require some sort of, massive political deal with Democrats. That's going to be hard. And a lot of Republicans were saying, I don't believe that we're going to get one done if we're going to deal with the debt if we just put it off. I think we've got to do both things at the same time because it is so tough.
And that's a point that people who are opposed to so-called pension reform, that's a point that opponents of that have made on this program, in fact, most recently. But getting back to the matter at hand in Harrisburg, how do the folks in Harrisburg feel about what the governor is doing?
Not great. Not great. You know, this budget doesn't give them a whole lot to run for re-election on. If you're, you know, a lawmaker that's up for re-election, that's the entire House and a third of the Senate. Half the Senate is up for election, but only about half of that half is opposed. Anyway, so it doesn't give them, you know, they can't take a whole bunch of money back to their school districts and say, look at what I got. They can't take a whole lot back in terms of, you know, human services funding increases and say, look what I got. Not much here. You know, if you're a lucky lawmaker that got something into a bill, you can show what you got, but there's not much here that you can stump on. So the budget itself is not much of a win. It's kind of a grin and bear it budget. No new taxes, and that's a selling point for a lot of people, but there's not much else there.
The decision
not to sign it is a lot of, especially Republicans, saw that as a slap in the face, and they didn't see it as a decisive move by the governor, you know.
Well, as the legislature called the governor's bluff here, because he's been saying he's not going to sign it, and they, you know, if
right.
But they passed the budget anyway, and there is no pension reform.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to put it. Of course, if he vetoes the whole thing, that's, you know, he calls their bluff back, I guess.
But you're saying
we're in this impasse. We're in this, you know, kind of waiting period.
Right, but you're saying that's not really likely at this point. Could happen, but
well, I don't know. Nobody knows. But think about the political implication. If the governor vetoes this budget, which, you know, he had a hand in saying how it was done. He went through negotiations. The governor's saying now that he didn't agree to the budget as it was passed, that they didn't sign off on it, that it was not agreed upon among, you know, between his office and Republican leaders. But, you know, that whole no new tax thing, that was something that was coming from the governor's office. That was something, you know, it's, you know, there were also a lot of House Republicans that wouldn't want to pass a tax. But I think that was a calculation made with the governor in mind, and it made writing a budget a lot more difficult to not include any new tax revenue. So if the governor vetoes a budget and it doesn't look like he has a way forward on passing a pension proposal, which is the case now, I don't know how that's a win for him just a few months before his fall reelection. So that's why I think it's unlikely that he'll veto the whole thing. But that's just, you know, speculation, and it's my opinion.
Sure, but you're there covering it every day. We're talking with 90.5 WESA Capitol correspondent Mary Wilson. And Mary, are there elements of this budget? Are there things the governor wanted in there in order to curry favor with voters in an election year?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but back in February, you know, he makes a budget proposal back in February, tells the legislature what he wants in, and there were a few weeks leading up to that presentation where he was doing this goodwill tour, and he was announcing, you know, doing these piecemeal announcements of things he was going to include in that proposal. And it was stuff like money for early education and money for programs that serve people with intellectual disabilities. Those two things stayed in the budget. Those two funding increases stayed in this budget. One of the things that didn't stay was his, like, roughly $300 million increase to the general education funding. But there are things in there that he pushed for, and I think lawmakers had him in mind when they decided to hang on to that.
Last question. A balanced budget is mandated by state law. Democrats say the maneuvers that eliminated the deficit are overly optimistic and unsustainable, leaving a funding mess for state budget drafters next year. Mm-hmm. How big of a potential mess are they talking about?
You know, estimates vary, but I think they're saying more than $1 billion, depending on what you count as a one-timer. I think they're saying as much as $2.5 billion in you know, more than $2 billion is pulled from funds that are kept off the main state budget. Special funds that usually go into loans. They used money that was appropriated in past years but wasn't spent, although Democrats say it might have been in the process of being spent because the contract may not have been completely executed yet or something like that. They also, you know, included an estimate that tax revenues over the coming year will be at a certain level, and that's that figure has been sweetened a little bit. So there are a lot of maneuvers in there, and like you said, Paul, Democrats say this budget is going to run out of steam halfway through the year. We think we're going to have to come back and talk about giving, you know, talk about, you know, thinking about giving more money to agencies are going to run out of money. They're talking about. Republicans respond by saying, hey, this is not the first time we've used one-time revenues and unsustainable means and even, yes, gimmicks to balance a budget on time. We did this in the past, they say. I've talked to people who worked for Governor Ed Rendell, and they say, yeah, we did all this stuff in the past. Democrats insist that this time it's of a greater volume, that this time there's more of it, and that's their cause for concern.
And it could well be a problem for a new governor, if the polls are any indication, and we have a new governor, if Tom Wolf wins, he starts off with a big problem, or if Governor Corbett wins re-election, he gets to hang in there and try to fix the mess, I guess.
Yeah, pick up the pieces.
90.5 WESA Capitol correspondent Mary Wilson joining us from Harrisburg. Great, thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, the U.S. Supreme Court has completed its term with a flurry of decisions. Pitt Law Professor David Harris parses through them. Next, it's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.